Catherine. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, so this is Catherine Kui here today, recording my first podcast, the first one I've done for ADHD, Brilliance and Blues. And Amy Hallberg has been so kind to be here today. She is my writing partner. And we did an apprenticeship together at the Loft Literary Center in writing.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yes. And she is the founder of Courageous Wordsmith. She's a writer, published a book recently called German Awakening.
Yeah, German Awakening, Tales from an American Life.
Yes.
And now I help other people write books.
She does. She's a major creative. And I wanted to have Amy here today to talk about her experience. Well, first of all...
Yeah, okay. So when we met, I did not think of myself as having ADHD. And I read your book and I just kept going, ah, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I think I have ADHD and I think my kiddos do too.
So Amy would look across from me and we used to read each other's drafts. And we haven't for a long, long time read each other's work. At least more than like a blurb or something. Maybe a paragraph. But
right. We...
used to read like, okay, well, you read this chapter for me and I'll read yours. And yeah, Amy would
like,
stop reading and just say, I think that we have ADHD.
Oh my gosh, my whole family is riddled with it. It's everywhere. My grandfather, he dropped out of school in 9th grade and became, like, he was a self-taught artist. He has to have had ADHD, has to have.
Right. What are the things you noticed about him that made you wonder?
Well, okay, the fact that he dropped out of school in 9th grade, but then he built himself a whole business before the days of the internet. So he was like a sign painter, and he would go do art, and then, you know, he would go out and like mow the lawn in checkerboard patterns, and, you know, then sometimes he had to go bowling. I mean, like he had to move a lot. Yeah, he was always active, and he always had paint all over himself. I mean, just crazy, right? And we make fun of him. Oh, crazy grandpa. No, he was a brilliant artist, but he had ADHD. He has to have.
Right. So anyway, that was just one of the gifts, I would say, that I don't know if you view it as a gift or not.
Well, okay, I will say this. When I was growing up, school mattered to me a lot. A lot. And you know, I graduated valedictorian from my high school.
Right.
But I took copious notes. Like, right? Yeah. It was compliance, right? It was learning the stuff and parroting it back. And I just took a crap ton of notes.
Right.
I could not be valedictorian the way school is today.
One of the reasons I wanted you here to talk today, Amy, is because of your experience, your own brain and your own creative brain, which we will talk more about, and then you being a mom of kids, and I want to respect their privacy too, and but you talking generally about being a parent of twins who have ADHD, and just what would you say?
Well,
it's tough. What's the part that you would say?
They are
really
mini-me's. They are twin mini-me's. So there's three of us. I used to say, because I'm a hummingbird. I used to think this was a problem. It's not. It's just who I am. I'm just learned to work with it, right? But I always thought, oh, I would never want to have a twin because one of me is enough. And then I had these identical twin girls who are just, so they're mini-me's. And the things that worked for me do not work in today's world. So there's the part of me that, you know, like, I just want them to be happy. I just want them to do the things that they are meant to do in this world.
Right.
But I also don't want them to struggle in school because it's a major detriment to people who are trying to get through opportunities, right?
Right. A lot of the times when I see you, we meet and we write and we work on our business stuff together. And when I see you, you are managing. Your kids are texting or you're talking to them about an assignment or something. And I see your anxiety go up and your stress level go up because you're trying to, it's maybe the end of the semester. You're trying to, and you know, it's not like the teen is, you know, saying, thanks, mom. You know, they're mad. They're mad about.
Of course they are, because teens are not meant to be getting closer to their parents. They're meant to be asserting their independence and figuring out who they are. And yet the school is set up in such a way that there's some micromanagement involved. And yeah. I hate that. I hate that I have to micromanage my children. And they do too.
They do too. So you, what are some of the things that, let's don't talk about what helps yet. I don't know. Like, in terms of the micromanagement, is there anything that you could advise that you've learned?
Yeah, what's interesting is, so I have twins, which means, I mean, they're very different from each other, but they also, you know, obviously share all their DNA. So,
right.
So they get each other. And sometimes when I've struggled, I've sort of knocked skulls with one kid, the other kid has said, do you understand that she already knows she did something wrong and she already feels bad and she doesn't need you to drill it in? And so, you know, one of the challenges is, how do I express to my child, I get that you've had a challenge. I'm not punishing you. I'm just trying to help you.
Yeah, like be accountable and get through it.
Find a way through it. And the other thing that we've worked really hard on is that, you know, sometimes you don't want to be lectured one more time.
Oh my gosh.
How much do you need me to help you with this, or do you not? And
right.
You can tell me the things that you need to tell me. Don't hide them. Because
I've worked on being transparent.
Right. Home. Because what happens is this bad thing happens, kid gets in over their head, and then they hide it, and the hiding makes it so much worse.
Right.
So if you can just level with me, I can be a better ally to you, and I can be less of a policeman.
So you're feeling like there's progress being made with the kids coming to you and being a little more straight up when they're falling behind.
Yeah.
That's so good. And the other thing I didn't mention is that Amy was, you taught high school.
Oh my gosh.
For how many years were you
a high school teacher? I taught for 20 and a half years.
20 and a half.
And a half. At the end, so here's
a half.
Let me tell you about that half. At the end I was teaching, so I'm a German teacher, and at the end I was teaching Spanish 1 and 2, which kids who take Spanish 1 and 2 at the high school are not the kids who like Spanish.
Oh, they're needing it to just graduate?
Right.
Right?
It's not, they're not there because this is something that they're really eager to do. So I'd have like 40 kids in a classroom.
Wow. Just you? No teaching assistant?
Just me, because nobody else did Spanish. So they'd put special ed kids in there, but they wouldn't send any help in.
Oh.
Right? So there's these kids with all this failure identity around learning a language. And, you know, if you have ADHD, you might also have dyslexia. You might have other complicating things. It's really hard to find them. And so, I mean, I recall one really lovely, really nice kid that I could, several really nice kids where I just struggled because on the one hand, I'm in charge of managing their behaviors.
Right.
And on the other hand, I'm looking at it going, it's seventh hour. It's they have had six classes before this. There's 40 people and they're supposed to be speaking in a language that isn't theirs. It's not a great success formula, you know? So that was really hard for me as a teacher too, because I didn't know.
Well, and you've told me, you have said over the years, you feel guilt about some of the teaching nightmares, you know, some of those things where you're like, you've said to me, I failed this kid, like not in terms of giving them an F, but you felt like you were failing them with.
And the system wasn't set up for any of us to succeed. So I think the difference when I mentioned the valedictorian thing, you know, there wasn't so much hyper accountability then.
Yeah.
So when I showed up and I was able to demonstrate the knowledge, clearly Amy's a smart kid and she knows the stuff and the grade reflected that. The grade does not reflect that. In fact, yesterday, so I was talking to somebody and somebody came up. We started talking about school and the school where I went to, and she talked about her sons and how they were gifted and how one of them was not able to get into college, but tested at the top 99th percentile.
So was not because of grades.
Because of grades, because of ADHD, because of hyper-accountability. And 504 plans don't matter if teachers don't understand that.
Well, yeah. So that's a huge part of what I want to do, is doing workshops for teachers and trying to collaborate on how to help kids that learn differently.
Well, you know what really brought it home for me was when they started doing these technology trainings at work.
Oh.
And I would go in on the technology training and they'd be teaching it up front.
Oh,
right. They'd be like, here's how you do this. And they'd walk you through all the steps, you know, and I'm trying to take notes because that's how I stay present. You know, this, right? Yeah, I take notes. Do. In fact, Catherine, I'm going to go off on a little.
Go off. Cause I going know off. You're going on the.
Yes.
Fidget.
You just had this thing about your top five fidgets. And I'm like, Catherine, that's how I wrote my whole book.
I wrote a blog on it. I was showing Amy about fidgets. And then you say what? What?
That's how I write my book. I'm always playing with fidgets. I'm like, we go to the loft, we sit down, and you like get to work, and I'm like playing with my Post-its, and I'm pulling out all my little stuff, and I'm playing with all this stuff. And once I've had all my hands on all the little things, then I sit down and I actually write. And that's not how I learned to write in school, right? You write,
right?
And so once I sat in on the classes, the technology classes at school, and they would give their lecture, and they'd get all done with the lecture and be like, okay, now it's work time. And then I'd raise my hand and be like, I don't get it. And they have to walk me all through it again. Oh my gosh, that's ADHD.
You couldn't just listen. You had to be doing.
Right.
Well, you know, there was something right on the tip of my tongue about, oh, I know what it is. I always thought you were like incredibly organized because your storyboards for your book were so perfect, and you'd always turn to me and say, exactly how many chapters do you have left? And I never knew. And then all of your but you're like hyper organizing because it's hard for you.
Yeah, and you know what, I hyper organize sometimes. It's a challenge because I'll organize stuff in and then I have to pull it back out, but I have to do it that way. And my mom is this way, actually. Like, you know, like I lose things. And when I was a kid, I would lose things. Then I would blame other people for losing it. And it would be like right in front of me. Like I would like all this stuff would get lost. And you're like, I'd go off to camp and I would lose my stuff. I would yell at people for having taken my stuff. Because ADHD also has a volatility of like the emotions are really, you know, high highs and low lows. Right? Like, and we all have that. My whole family, high highs and low lows and highly creative, whatever. So I've had to learn ways to sort of lockstep myself. Like you may notice, I will, before I leave a space,
I always check
my keys, my phone, my wallet, every time. And I have certain fidgets that are always the same thing so that I build muscle memory. And because my mind is just like, I'm like, oh, look, squirrel.
Wow. That is so inspiring. It really is. I want people to know that, I mean, that's one of the things that as you get older, if you have ADHD, just knowing that all of these patterns and steps and routines, you can manage a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. I know you weren't trying to be inspiring at all right now, but I really find that inspiring. I think you should own it.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
And I'm fortunate because I do have family members. So like my mother was aware of her own dyslexia. My grandfather, you know, like he was an artist. And so instead of trying to be that thing, he did drop out of school. He did become an artist. So right. I have role models where other people maybe do not.
Right. You've learned that grades, you've said this a lot as a teacher, grades should not be such a fixation. There should be so many different ways to, and yes. I feel like that's a passion of yours is looking at brilliance, intelligence, whatever you want to call it. And
how much damage do we do when we judge ourselves that way? There are people I've met who I know they didn't do well grade-wise in school who are some of the smartest people I know. And not to diminish academic achievement, not at all, because I think it's really important. But wouldn't we be better off if we were using everybody's brilliance and that all of us together could complement each other instead of always having to be the best?
Like, oh, you went to this school or that school, instead of viewing all the different kinds of educational settings as being really cool, depending on your learning style, whatever it is.
And then, you know, when we're talking to each other and we're listening to it, it's not, oh, well, actually, it's, ooh, tell me more about that.
Yeah.
It becomes this great, we fuel each other's passions instead of limiting each other.
Or comparing.
Martha Beck community that I trained in as a life coach. And Martha is famously ADHD and has 3 degrees from Harvard.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes, she has 3 degrees from Harvard. So it was, yeah, so I take great inspiration from this woman because of that, right? But they always talk about compare and despair and just how useless that is. And I think that ADHD, it's a beautiful gift.
And it's a pain in the butt.
Yes, greatest strengths, biggest weaknesses. And that's the deal. The more strength you have, the more shadows you're going to have.
I think that's a good ending point.
That's a beautiful ending
point. Yes. Thank you for being here, Amy.
Thanks for having me, Catherine.
You're welcome.